And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Part of... No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
The only thing I'll say about it, obviously, congrats to Nikola. You know, he deserved it. He had an amazing season. You know, there's no right or wrong. You know, there was a lot of candidates. It could have gone either way. Giannis, Devin, Booker, you know, being on the best team in the league by far. So I guess every year is all about, you know, whatever you guys decide, whatever fits the narrative.
Welcome to Point of Contention. 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, are the Heat done? Changing the All-NBA voting, Kyrie, extra teams, and how the West will be won. Today is May 27th. Happy National Grape Popsicle Day. That's a thing. I'm Zach Harper. Andrew Schlecht is producing. In this corner, the Longmeadow legend, the kingpin from Beantown, who calls it like he sees it and often calls it before he sees it and sometimes sees like he calls it. In his heyday, he liked a hot box because he wanted all the smoke, and is exactly who Omar from The Wire was talking about when he said, "You come at the king, you best not miss." He is the one and only Jay King. Jay, have you ever seen an NBA player hit nothing but backboard on 2 different 3-point attempts in the same possession like Vic Oladipo in Game 5?
Probably not identically
any
the
level.
Way that he did.
How about it any was level? Just,
it was the same miss twice on the same possession.
It was marvelous, actually. I think he hit the same spot on the backboard twice.
Mike Breen had the best. It was just like way off again on the
way off again.
That game was so disgusting.
Oh my god!
That's Mike Breen's version of the double bang, right?
Yeah,
get the double
the
way
exact
off.
Exact opposite. Yeah, way off. He gets it back. Way off again.
It was a double doink, basketball version.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, the stitching to the glove, the parent to the J kid. He puts the awe in B Shaw. He writes the hook for Hook Mitchell. He puts the ill in Lillard. It's the 3-time author of Bay Area and NBA basketball, the creator of the rap group, A Scribe Called Quest. You can mark us all down as fans of the legend. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, rank these 3 Tom Cruise movies: Top Gun, Mission Impossible, and Collateral.
Collateral, Mission Impossible, Top Gun.
That's the correct ranking. I'm happy for you. Ooh, a lot of people don't know Collateral. I'm firmly on this hill, and I will die on it.
Come on, really? People don't know Collateral?
No, but the best Michael Mann movie. It's not Heat. It's Collateral. Collateral is the best movie he ever directed. Go watch it again. It's fantastic.
I was about to say, come on, man. People know about Collateral.
They do, but they don't realize how great
it is. I never watched Collateral.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's absolutely so good. Watch it and then watch it again with whatever that weird face filter people are putting on things. Not the crying one, but like the cartoonish Who Framed Roger Rabbit faces. I can't get enough of those videos, by the way. Send them all to me at Talk Hoops on Twitter. I'm here for all of them. Andrew, start the clock. It's time for take one. Are the Heat done? Wednesday night, the Boston Celtics beat the Heat 93-80 to pull themselves within 1 game of making the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen in a playoff setting on both ends of it. It was horrible. Once the Celtics grabbed hold of actually playing basketball in the second half, we got it pretty much put away with a couple of runs at the end of the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter. Eastern Conference playoffs have been a war of attrition with injuries to key players like Joel Embiid, Chris Middleton in the early rounds. Then we've got Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and the Time Lord in the East Finals. Jay, is this a case of injuries being too much for the Heat, or did the Boston talent and defense become too much for the Heat?
I think it's injuries, honestly. Like, Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry just seemed to have nothing in Game 5. The Celtics put Al Horford on Butler, and Ime Udoka said later, we just guarded him like a big because he didn't want to score. And it's like, if Jimmy Butler does not want to score, and if the Celtics know that Jimmy Butler does not want to score, and if Lowry does not have an assist, does not have a made field goal, does not have any positive impact whatsoever on the game, then they're just going to struggle to score, man. The backcourt performance the last two games between Strus and Kyle Lowry, those guys are just giving them absolutely nothing. They're 1-for-28 combined over the last two games, which is impossible, and you can't really come back from that. And it seems like the deeper that this goes into the series, the Celtics just find more and more pressure points to push on. And, you know, unless Butler especially is able to give the Heat a lot more in Game 6, it's hard to imagine the Heat scoring enough to win another game.
Marcus, these Heat are cooked. Like, there's no, unless there is a magical trip to Germany between now and Game 6, I do not see any legs being revived and any talent disparity being made up on the Heat's part.
It's tough to see, but that's why I think it's going to happen.
Just to mess with us?
I mean, right? Wouldn't that be very Heat-like?
Like, I guess, man.
I mean, they're kind of dead. It's like,
I got to be honest. I don't think we need Game 6. They're not going out like this, move the Celtics. I don't want to see any more of this series. It's been awful. I was so excited for it, and it's been horrendous.
It's been a disgusting series.
Their offensive rating in the third quarter was 66.7. Like, that was just a horrendous.
There was a point where Tom Haverstraw tweeted that the Heat were 5 of 33 from three-point range. I was like, I've watched this whole game. They have not made 5 threes. There's no way. Like, it's just
poor Strus, like 4 minutes into the third quarter, he missed his 16th straight three-pointer. And then he was kind of looking over at the bench like, I know they're going to take me out. I know it. And sure
enough, he committed a foul on the breakaway and was
he's trying to get out of there at that point.
I do feel like there are some moves that they can make, and it's a reach. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's desperation time. But I do feel like for one, like, let's get Gabe Vincent. Let's just get him all the minutes, right?
He's legitimate.
He's been really good.
And he's someone who, like, seems to want to fight.
Yeah, and he can make plays on both ends. Like, I think he played 20 minutes last game. Like, that's just simply not enough. I mean, bottom line, it's not enough. And you know what? Man, get your seven some minutes. Like,
oh, that's my guy.
I do feel
I wasn't prepared for the call for Yurt 7.
Yes, no, he's 100% right. That man's a bucket. Man,
like, the problem is they just have nowhere to turn. And, you know, the Heat can play defense, but nobody is a good defender when you can't score. Like, no, eventually it just becomes demoralizing, and you can't defend at a high level when you're not making shots. I just do feel like they need some different looks. They need some of that hungry energy. And I don't know if it'll work, but we know what they're doing.
It won't.
Will not work, right? Like, know that. Like, run Caleb Martin a little bit more. Like, just give these dudes with some juice, with some legs, with some life, with some energy, and maybe a little bit of offensive skill. It's your best shot, right?
Yeah. Get some life into that thing. I've been down on the Oladipo signing because I've just been like, I think this is going to be Danny Granger 2.0. Like, I don't think it's going to yield results. And then there were some Heat fans after Game 4 that were like, oh, you still feel like this? I was like, because he turned a 40-point loss into a 20-point loss? Like, there's
second half of Game 3, too, though.
No.
His defense was great in that game.
Jason Tatum gave him the ball twice. Like, just gave it to him, just handed it to him twice. And then his off-ball defense was bad. It was bad. Like, he gave up a wide open three to Marcus Smart. Like, it was bad. And so, and I'm not trying to shit on the guy. Like, it's a great story if he can come back and be consistently productive. Yeah, it's a great story. It's just, when Caleb Martin is there, and I know that dude can go play defense and maybe be a slasher, I just think that, okay, hoping that Vic Oladipo becomes Vic Oladipo again isn't going to do it. And at the same time, like Marcus said, give Gabe Vincent these minutes. Gabe Vincent can play. He's ready to go. He's going on both ends of the floor.
The Hero loss has been a big deal, too, because I know when he went out, people were wondering, is this actually good for the Heat? Because the Celtics have targeted him. And it's like, to an extent, that's an issue for them when he's mm-hmm. out there. But they also just need whatever offensive pop they can get in this series. Like,
anybody that can turn the corner on a screen or something, right?
Like, yeah, the way that Butler is right now, the way that Lowry is right now, they just need more creativity. They need someone who can make the Celtics pay for just, like, laying back at the rim. Like, they are literally, like, just waiting for the Heat to attack them near the rim.
For real. They're literally playing, like, I dare you to defense.
Yeah, they're playing defense like Hashim Thabeet is, like, playing center in college. Like, that's what it is. They're just like, we're gonna have a guy in the paint. We dare you to call 3 seconds. We dare you to, like, to attack this rim. Like, we're just gonna have a dude here.
And I also think there's a chance Bam just has a huge game six if they guard him the way that they did in game five, because they were just giving him 15 footers. And I know he's not the best shooter ever, but he's gotten better at that shot.
He can do it. He's just been afraid.
Yeah, he's got to just take the shots that are available to him, because even though it's not the most efficient shot ever, they're not getting efficient shots at all. Like, just let it fly, man. If they're going to guard you like that, make them pay for it.
He's Idris Adebayo until he starts playing well again. He doesn't get Bam anymore.
I would give them that nothing to lose bump, right? No pressure. Shots going to fly.
All of a sudden, oh, Bam, 40. Let's see what happens.
But only problem is that just might keep it close.
The Celtics have been bad, their best hope is to not get blown out.
Like, that's what it feels like.
They've been bad to the Celtics during the playoffs at dealing with a little bit of success. It seems like every win, they come back the next game and they're just not as sharp.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of lucky game five that the Heat didn't come out and play good basketball right away. And they had a hand in that.
But just an unforgivable first half by all involved.
Yeah, it's no, I'm done with it. All right, take two.
I was watching next to Tim Bontemps, who was just absolutely disgusted, just like screaming about how awful it was the whole first half. I've never seen someone so excited about how awful the basketball was. I wish everyone could have experienced Bontemps' disgust.
Gets Jay King on IG Live next game the entire time, just pointing out media row reactions and frustrations.
It was over the top, man.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Take two. All-NBA debacle? The All-NBA teams were announced Tuesday night, and they are as follows. First team, Giannis, Booker, Luka, Jokic, Tatum. Second team, Steph, DeMar, KD, Joel, and Ja. Third team, Chris Paul, Siakam, Kat, Trae Young, LeBron? Jason Tatum had some words on the voting process pregame on Wednesday. He said, quote, there just should be some rules in place. I don't know exactly, but maybe you should have to play a certain amount of games, or maybe you're a playoff team or not. Tatum added, quote, I do think it should be positionless. Joel Embiid was second in MVP voting and made the second team. So, Marcus, is Tatum right? Should all NBA be positionless? And should MVP be part of the all-NBA voting process?
No, but it is, even though it's not officially, but of course people are thinking that way. But no, it shouldn't be. And if it was positionless and it was five guards, they'd be complaining about centers not getting love. And then if it's all centers, it'd be like, oh, we're the point guards. It's like,
would anybody really complain if like Rudy Gobert doesn't get a spot on third team? I think I'd be good. Some more guards made it.
I think I'd be fine
like,
with it.
I don't feel like it should be positionless, but maybe it's all-star where it's like front court, back court, like, you know, but. Yeah. No matter how you shake it, there are no rules. There are no ways to bend this so everybody's happy. And you know what? First off, why is Jason Tatum even talking? Didn't he make first team? Like, you can't. Rule.
You cannot complain when you're first team.
Marcus, all right, he should have complained last year.
Yeah,
this year, you just take your award when you're first team. No complaints.
He couldn't risk not getting votes this year if he felt like it was a petty thing. Don't
get up here unless you got to drop some names like who should be off the first team.
I'm with that.
You know what I'm saying? To me, no, it doesn't matter. Everybody can't. It's five spots. Bottom line, it's five spots, and there's a lot of good players. It's going to happen. Now, if he said we shouldn't be voting, all right. But even if anybody votes, there's going to be a dude left off, and they're going to whine about it every time. Yeah. You just can't have it every time.
Adam Silver was on the radio like a week or two ago, and it was like, I don't want to vote for it. I don't want to decide these awards. It's like, the commissioner doesn't want to do it. Like, players shouldn't do it. I guess media should, but even then, I understand the hesitations with that. I don't know.
I think in college, they do All-American teams. They just tell you, you need to pick five guys that could theoretically play on the court at the same time in a real game. And I kind of like that idea. Because I think Jokic and Embiid, like, you could convince me that
for
they
sure.
could work together if they were actually in the front court together.
I like that idea, actually. That's
or just do the all-wooden team where there's like 12 that. Guys selected. Like... Just put all 12 of them then on first team. How about that?
it's not going to happen every year that a guy who finishes second in MVP voting is second team all NBA. But it's happened for a long time. Like, there were years Bill Russell won the MVP and was second team all NBA. Like, this is just a thing that's happened forever.
Mm-hmm.
My bigger issue was with the NBA saying that Embiid and Jokic were both available for forward spots. Like,
yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that bullshit.
If you're going to have positions, you can't just put guys in positions
court,
that they're not
court.
Even a part of.
Yeah, do front court, back court, the all-star voting or no. I would rather no positions because I don't care. Like, if it's five guards as the best five players in a season, then it's five guards. Like, I don't care about that personally.
Yeah, I don't care about it either.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter, but when it's five guards, just be ready for the big man to be crying about, oh, nobody respects it.
You know what? Go learn to hit a three, big man. How about that?
Rudy would literally cry. Oh, man, if there was no centers in the first
there's a bias against me.
You guys are just plotting a conspiracy against the future of James Wiseman.
Wow, that's what this is? You going to have to cover him soon? Or is that going to be somebody else's problem?
What do you mean soon?
I mean, is he ever going to play another game in a Warriors uniform?
I still believe in Wiseman.
He's going to be good.
Wiseman's all-NBA hopes just got ended Jason Tatum complained that he made first team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, Wiseman's going to be a point guard anyway.
Thanks.
Why don't the Warriors like James Wiseman? Let's change the subject a little bit.
The Warriors love James Wiseman. That's one.
Do they actually, or is this just how you increase trade value?
Nah, I think they really love him. Actually, the owner loves him to death. He's their future. He's there. We figure this out. The post Steph Curry era. We've got our piece.
Real quick, did you see that video? It's old, but it was Vivek telling the Kings to draft Nick Stauskas from years ago, obviously. I think, what was that, 2015 or whatever?
What a moment.
But tell it, and it's like a video of him, and it's Pete D'Alessandro, and it's Vivek saying, yeah, he told us that he hit 92 of 100 threes in one session. And it's like, you didn't even see it?
He told you?
That's what you went off.
Well, I didn't, man.
They got hype about that. I hit 93 out of 100. I hit 93 out of 100. Hey, trash.
Expect a 10-day from
I hit all 100 of those
Kings pretty soon. All right, let's move on to take three.
That dude cheated on the test, but then missed a couple answers just so it looks real.
You have to. That's the way you do it. You can't get 100
93
on the test,
out of 100. Okay.
You're not an A-plus student. You gotta drop a little. All right, take three. The conference finals are winding down. Draft season is beginning. So, of course, Kyrie Irving is in the news. Christian Winfield of New York Daily News reports that the Nets are outright willing to give the star guard a long-term extension after he are outright unwilling to give the star guard a long-term extension after he opts out of his $36.9 million player option. So, this Kyrie thing is complicated, right? Marcus, what's the move for the Nets? Oh, did we lose Marcus?
Hold on. No.
Okay, hold on. 3, 2. Marcus, what's the move for the Nets? How do you see this going if there is a potential unwillingness to give that long-term extension to Kyrie?
Man, team options. It's nothing like at the end. We're going to give
you... 4-year deal with three team options?
Is that what you're saying? Or at least go with the rookie contract. That's basically the rookie deal after 2 years, right? It's option. Give them incentive-laden deal. Like, give them all the money, but just give them incentives. The problem, the reason why they have to do it is because the best player on the team, like, wants him there.
Mm-hmm. Are we convinced that Durant still wants him there?
I mean, we have what he said. I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes. And the question is, what can they? Who? How do you upgrade from Kyrie? Like, who are they getting?
Somebody that'll play.
So my thing with Durant is:
would you rather have 29 games of Kyrie or 82 games of Goran Dragic?
29 games of Kyrie.
That's fair.
definitely 29 games of Kyrie.
I think it's rude, but it's fair.
At twice the price.
But I have a theory that Durant has informed the Nets that he's cool with them doing whatever with Kyrie Irving, because Sean Marks came out and said some pretty harsh comments about Kyrie, how they need to get guys who are available, how they need to get guys who want to play for the team. And I don't think he's doing that. I don't think this report would come out that they're unwilling to offer him an extension if Kevin Durant's not on board with that. And Durant, from his perspective, and this is all obviously just me speculating and me thinking about the situation by myself with no internal information, but he just went through a series with the Celtics where he looked bad because he didn't have enough around him. And Ben Simmons was not playing. Kyrie, you know, part of the issue with that team was they just had no familiarity with each other because Kyrie spent half the season doing God knows what. And I think Durant, after going through that, like something like that could really change your perspective, because now it's not just impacting your team on a day-to-day basis, but it's also impacting the way people see you. And he went from, you know, best player in the world, everybody thought he was the best player in the world, to now there are doubts about that because of what I think was like just how bad the rest of his team was in a playoff series against the Boston Celtics.
And where's the upgrade though? Like, that's a pretty significant.
The upgrade is someone who plays like three-fourths of the season.
It can't be that, but it's got to be somebody really good who plays three-fourths for the season. Hey, don't play with me now. Like,
Trae Young wanted Gabe Vincent on the Miami Heat graphic of we've made the next round, but also, you know, Gabe Vincent kind of held Trae Young to a pretty poor series, so maybe that was a little selfish on Trae Young's part, but there is a Gabe Vincent high.
I'm a big Gabe Vincent fan. I don't know what the heck happened for with well, Team about, Nigeria.
What about
came
this?
Back a monster.
What about
Naija, baby? Let's go.
What about this? What if like John Wall becomes available, right?
Becomes John Wall. And he is available.
When's
no? But I'm saying like if he can play, if he can play 60 games versus not knowing
so,
what.
So what you want Kyrie someone who's going to be available, and you're thinking
and you went with
somebody
Wall.
Needs to look. I know I mean, John Wall Westbrook, wants to play. Right? John Wall up. Wanted to play last year, and the Rockets like we're trying to lose these games. It's like I don't know that John Wall is going to drag this team to out of the lottery. Like I think he's going to be okay.
I do think you know the whole point in going to Brooklyn and leaving the Warriors was to go and kind of build a champion. He just needs another star. He needs a reliable star for sure, but it can't just be a piece. We've seen it. Like mm-hmm. we've seen what happens when he's by himself, and he was by himself a lot. So while I feel you, right? Like 75% of the games is a worthy goal, but Kevin Durant needs to win a championship. And he's got to get somebody really good next to him. Like,
well, all right. I'm looking at free agents, man.
Would they be
that's what I'm
off.
Saying. It's tough, Zach. It's,
would
I'm
they be better off?
Yeah, it's tough. If they he's moved, really good when he plays.
Would they be better off if they moved Kyrie for like two or three good defensive wings?
Who's trading for him?
Yeah, his trade value can't be lower, right?
You can't trust that he's going to play. It's not that he's not good. It's that you don't know if he's going to play basketball.
Especially if you trade him to a team where he don't
want
to be.
By choice oh, or by is, injury.
Yeah,
like, that's
he is
the
out,
thing. Bro. Yeah.
Can you imagine Kyrie getting traded to, like, Minnesota? And it's like, yo, you know what? I'm just going to post up on this reservation.
Oh, wait
like,
a second. Are we
it.
Talking a D-Lo reunion in Brooklyn? All right. Now I'm on board. And just the content that Anthony Edwards will have from hanging out with Kyrie.
Oh, man. I'm D-Lo in. D-Lo and Jade McDaniel? Come on, man. I'll do that.
Well, Tim Connelly strikes.
Tim Connelly strikes, absolutely. All right, let's move on to something more realistic. Coming up after the break, do the Mavs still have some life in them? And new NBA teams, we're back after this.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Take four. Teamless in Seattle? Maybe not in 2 years, according to sports journalist John Canzano. The league is looking into expanding to the two cities in 2024 following the expiration of the NBA's TV deal. Those two cities, Seattle and Las Vegas. That's right. Getting back to the Pacific Northwest, just north, 3 hours north of Portland, and getting into Sin City where the NBA hasn't been officially outside of Summer League since, when was that All-Star game? 2007, where Pac-Man Jones got into a thing there? Well, he's probably got into a thing there multiple times, but...
Multiple times, yes.
And everywhere.
And everywhere, yes. But, Marcus, do you buy that the league is ready for two more teams in 2024?
Yes, but expansion is going to be tough. Like, you're adding two teams to this? First off, like, they work to get to this perfect balance of five teams per division. Now, that's going to be all out of whack. But also, I mean... You're looking at some of the talent on these teams. You really want to thin that out even more by adding two franchises? Like, I agree. They should be in Seattle, and I'm interested in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. But, man, like, are you serious right now? I believe in big markets. I do believe in bigger markets, but they're essentially thinning out the rosters. They're thinning out the amount of people, the amount of talent each team will have. So now a super team really kind of destroys the league because now it's that much tougher. To me, that's deep. I feel like you gotta move a couple teams, man.
Check
like,
out San Francisco elitist Marcus Thompson talking about I like big markets. Oh my goodness.
Big markets, man. That's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
I feel like that's the way to go.
Interesting. Jay, what about the expansion side of this? Because there, you know, I think there's a lot of talent out there that's still not in the NBA yet and guys that could get a chance, but the star talent, that's something that's already difficult enough to spread out.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the league is in a great place right now. I think, you know, after the Warriors just kind of toasted everybody and everyone looked at them and you just knew they were either going to win it or they were going to lose it simply because they got injured, like they ended up doing. Now it's like this season there were legit, like, what, 8 teams that had a chance, at least some chance of winning a title, and that's fun to me. And I also think the league is very talented right now. There are a lot of young players emerging and taking the next step to becoming really great. And I mean, maybe I'm just like the washed up dude who doesn't want change, but I think adding 2 teams and diminishing the talent level of teams is just like, to me, the league is in such a great place. I don't want to see that.
Are there 30 stars in this? Are there 32 stars?
They're not 30. They're not 30 stars in this league.
I mean, that's
yeah. We've twice had to fill. I mean, all right, earmuffs. This Orlando and Chicago. We've twice had to fill out an all-star team with Nikola Vucevic. Twice. Good player.
Two times.
Good player, but twice.
I mean, Andrew Wiggins started.
Well, that's K-pop, baby.
Yeah, that was K-pop. Yeah, that was K-pop. That was just K-pop.
Also, justice for my man Andrew Wiggins, who everyone just loves shitting on after the All-Star break and had a couple of struggle moments. And what's happening? He is single-handedly carrying them to the NBA Finals. Maybe that part is not accurate, but he's going to be there.
I mean, there's no way. Look, if anybody changed their stripes more than Andrew Wiggins in this
that
postseason,
dunk,
show him
man,
to me.
I can't get show, enough of like, that dunk. That dunk is so nasty.
Andrew Wiggins is a savage, bro.
It might not even be better than the Brandon Clark one, but I just like it more. It looks prettier.
It's crazy what Wiggins has done to transform his reputation. That dude, he scored a ton early in his career, and everyone still looked at him like, that dude is useless. He doesn't rebound, doesn't
not
defend.
Not everyone. Some people believe this entire
doesn't
time.
Do anything to really help you win. And now he's out there guarding Luka. He's out there pressuring full court. He's out there.
He's like lead rebounder.
As a rookie, he was guarding CP3. Yeah. He was guarding Jimmy Butler.
He always guarded LeBron well.
Yeah, he always is like, you traded me? Hey, we may lose, but I'm gonna get some revenge here.
Hey, all year we'd write about Wiggins, Jay, and it'll be like invariably like Wiggins has a good game, no matter what. There were some Minnesota fans who'd follow up, be like, hold on, just give it time. He's gonna disappoint
you. I remember reading some of your stuff when they first got him, and I was like, man, these guys are really high on Andrew Wiggins. Like, they're way too high on Andrew Wiggins.
Jimmy always said he was the most talented. You gotta harness that talent.
It's like, been tough. Like, is there another example of this? Like a first round pick who's like, kind of a bust, and then all of a sudden he's like,
to a lesser extent, Jeff Green, sort of. Like, Jeff Green had somewhat empty numbers earlier in his career and then emerged as like a guy who could defend and was tough, and he's still like a good role player. Mm-hmm. Today,
I was thinking it wasn't as bad of a bust feel, but it reminded me of Joe Smith. Remember how bad Joe Smith was, the number one pick? It was like, oh, you failed, but he ended up being a really good pro, man. Like, but I think Wiggins is not as big of a fall as Joe Smith, and he's also a better player at his peak. But you just don't find it, man. Normally, when we write dudes off, they stay written off.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone who was written off and then ended up like bouncing back like that. And
the thing to me is, like, he just got tough.
but that's the unique part. Like, you don't normally get that, right? You're either tough or you're not. But this dude, like,
I don't know if
Wiggins
he got
is
tough.
A savage,
I don't know if it was getting tough. I think it was just deciding to care consistently. I think that was it.
And about, like, the things that win. Like, caring about the things that win,
I don't want to be I don't want to be corny, and I don't want to take away from any heartwarming stories. Something like, is it possible fatherhood did it? All these players now have great turns after fatherhood.
I do think there is a maturation to it, right? There is a maturity element to it.
There has to be, yeah.
Yeah. I also think, not to be corny, but I also think Stephen Curry's got something to do with it too. Like, this dude has been pumping into he's been pumping into Andrew Wiggins and hyping him up and all talking to him. And even though, like, it's just funny, Steph is like 34. And when he praise you, like, it means something to these dudes. When Steph is like, you won that game for us, you like, Wiggins be smiling like, cheesing like some hot girl said, what's up, right? Like, when Steph is like, hey, man, you won that game, all of a sudden they light up. I do think stuff like that matters. And we kind of, I just forget about it because Steph is Steph, right? He's been around forever. Right. But these guys come in, they look at Steph different. So when he say something, it's a little sweeter.
All right. Talked about carrying the Warriors to the NBA Finals. Or will they? Take five. Do the Mavs still have life? This is a question you already know the answer to because we are recording on Thursday afternoon. And the game is Thursday night. But let's get our crystal ball and our oracle robes and accurately predict the outcome of this game. Great and powerful oracle, Jay King, give us your insight.
The Mavericks are going to lose. They are going to lose by a lot. There is going to be bloodshed. Stephen Curry going to drive the stake in them. Andrew Wiggins going to continue single-handedly carrying the Warriors to the NBA Finals.
A lot of people are saying it, man. A lot of people are saying it.
Yeah. No, I think the Warriors, they let up in game four. They wanted the extra gate money of another game at home. And now they're going to just end the series.
$10 million a game per some estimates.
Ooh, wow.
$10 million a home game.
Well, imagine what game seven would feel like.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
I do think they'll win. I do think this is very dangerous because Dallas can just get hot, make 25 threes, and you're looking at game six. But I have a feeling Klay will wake up. And to me, it's going to be Klay. Klay is just a better player at home at this point. He's a better shooter at home. And if Klay's making shots, it's really tough to beat this team.
What about game two, right? Mavericks should have won game two, and then they choked away the second half. Like, is there something there that gives the Mavs hope for coming out and playing well in Chase Center tonight?
Absolutely. They made 15 threes in the first half.
Yeah.
They were on pace for an NBA record.
It really is just like, will their shooting show up? Like, their defense has obviously struggled against the Warriors, but the Warriors, I don't think they've defended the Mavs all that well. I think the Mavs are missing a lot of open looks.
A ton of them. And I don't really even believe in the Warriors' philosophy either. I feel like you stay home, you make Luka get 60, and he's going to tire out driving 100 times a game. But they drive and they react to the paint, and Mavericks have gotten a ton of open shots. I mean, I guess there's a part of you that's like, look, man, if these dudes just catch, if all of them just catch fire, then you lose. But it's probably not probable. But they have missed a ton of open shots,
they
right?
They missed a lot, man. They were generating like 28 a game or something.
Yeah, they've missed a lot of open shots. And the crazy part about game three is, I mean, they weren't even close. Like Reggie Bullock, Kleber, they weren't even. I mean, they were getting wide open shots.
Kleber stopped shooting.
Bullock. I keep messing that up. Yeah. So if they make open shots, if they make threes, they present a problem.
Jay's pick for Defensive Player of the Year, Maxi Kleber, he just stopped shooting in game three. He was so shook by the misses.
That wasn't a great game for the Maxi Kleber fans out there.
No. He blocked a couple of shots, though, right?
My man can really play D.
He's not the reason their defense is good.
He's a sneaky blocker, though. Like, people will be like, I'm about to dunk on this dude, and he'll block.
Because he's white?
No, I don't know why they do that. And hey, Jonathan Kuminga was like, I'm about to dunk on this dude. He got there though. It's like, hold on, man. You ain't supposed to be able to get up like that.
All right. Let's say the Mavericks lose Thursday night, which people already know this by the time you listen to this. Let's say they lose Thursday night. What's the next thing for them, Jay?
For the Mavericks?
Yeah. Like what's the target this offseason?
They need to get more athletic. They need to get longer, more athletic. The thing that's really stood out to me in this series is that the Warriors have just been able to beat their guys off the bounce. Even when they send two, like, they've been able to get into the paint. They've been able to really beat that defense. As good as that defense is, it's just like a lot of smart defenders. It's not necessarily like freaks out there. Mm-hmm. So that would be my thing, is just looking for more length to surround Luka with.
They got to get another playmaker. They just have to. They have to get somebody else who can push Luka off the ball and say, I got this. Yeah. I mean, you can really
and
just
they, and they might be Luka. They're probably losing Brunson, right? Do we think they're Brunson's out?
Free agent, absolutely. But even
he might have played himself into staying, though.
No, he's not.
Nah, he's played himself right into the New York Knicks, baby. That's what he did.
Knicks exists.
He played himself right into a New York Knicks contract, baby. but even Brunson is far more of a ISO, I'm gonna go get a bucket.
Yeah.
Like, they need some driving kick. They need, like, Luka's out there by himself half the time. And it's not because the other guys don't want to. It's just like, all right, if you want Dorian Finney-Smith to create off the dribble, go ahead, right? Mm-hmm. And it ends up being the best option. When the Warriors go zone, they move Luka off the ball, and it had a little bit of effect. But eventually, in the playoffs, I mean, we've seen it. When they make threes, they win. When they don't, they lose. They don't have an answer when they don't make threes. And
right,
that's because they got,
like,
one they playmaker.
Yeah.
So I do think they need another playmaker. And they would be better if Tim Hardaway Jr. was there, especially defensively. But
sure.
I don't know if he's that dude, right? I don't know if he's that guy who you could say, Luka,
he's not.
Be on the court, but take a break. I don't know if you can do that with that guy.
He'll say it.
Nope.
He will
say it. I don't know if that's what they're looking for. No mention of going and getting Rudy Gobert, huh, guys?
Or Kyrie, huh? No Kyrie.
Rudy would be interesting.
Rudy would be interesting. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, Michelle Beadle's podcast, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and keep it locked in on The Athletic.